And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl, Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we have...
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin, and...
The Black Knight.
Right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Hot politics. And this week's hot politics, we are speaking about something that everyone's been speaking about, two things that everyone's been speaking about, depending on what country you're in, and that is the presidential debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and also looking at...
the supposed negotiations.
Yes, of...
for the government of national unity.
Yes, that is what we're going to be looking at today, Pascal. I'm trying to give a brief explanation.
Yeah, well, we're going to be asking the questions that no one else seems to be asking. All right. And that is, first of all, looking at the U.S. presidential debate. Why in the world did they have a debate in June? Neither candidate has been nominated yet. They haven't had their conventions yet. So the presidential elections in America, they have a timetable. You first have the primaries. Then everyone votes. Then for the parties, you have the Republican primaries and the Democrat primaries. And then what happens is that the person that wins then goes to the convention for the party, either the Republican National Convention or the Democratic National Convention, and then the delegates vote who's going to be their nominee. And obviously they're supposed to vote in accordance with how the people voted. But then what they also have amongst the Democrats is these things called super delegates. They're unelected people and they can vote for whoever they want. But now what you have is a situation where the debate has taken place before the convention. So neither Donald Trump nor Joe Biden are the nominee yet. They're both the presumptive nominees. So we presume they're going to be the nominees. Because there's no rule that says that the delegates have to vote for the person that they're there to represent. They're delegates from their states. And, obviously the belief is that they must vote in line with how the voters vote, although there's nothing that says they have to. All right, I'm just not sure what will happen if you go against. It won't look too good, but anyway. So why do they have the debate then? And then also we have this thing that goes on after the elections. Ramaphosa gets elected president. Then there's this big fight, people leaking letters, and there's this massive fight, and this, that, the next thing, and everyone's breaking the Constitution. And suddenly this last Sunday night, there's this nice, neat package of an announcement that gets made in this cabinet. And, what was going on there? Was the look behind the scenes a look that was an honest look? We're going to talk about that, or was it something else? We're going to discuss that. And so the other thing is, why is Tulsi Gabbard, who took out Kamala Harris, which is the vice president of America, in the last presidential campaign, why is she so famous? Why is everyone interviewing her? Why are the people whose voices get out there, why are they so famous? Why is Tucker Carlson so famous? We're going to discuss that.
It's going to be an interesting show. As always, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Hot politics.
Stay updated, stay entertained with Active FM on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok,
Apple Podcast, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Comment, share them out, retweet and repost. Spread the word.
Active FM, radio has never been better.
are speaking about, or we're asking the questions that no one is asking in terms of the South African government, in terms of the presidential debate that happened in the US recently. And yeah, so we're basically asking those questions. And I'm going to start with the presidential election. And there's actually a site here called, I think it's one of their local news channels. It's KSBW Action News 8. Yes. And they actually have a reason in terms of
that
why.
KSBW is probably the name of a TV station.
Yes.
And this is their website.
Yeah. And they also, they covered, they wrote like a short article in terms of the debate that happened. And it says here, the debate between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump, hosted by CNN on Thursday, is the first of the 2024 election cycle and the earliest presidential debate in U.S. history. Hosting a presidential debate
why?
In June.
Why? We were discussing why. Why was it the earliest one ever?
Yeah. It says hosting a presidential debate in June is unheard of, as is having one in July and August. Before 2024, the earliest debate in an election year was September 21st during the 1918 presidential election. Since 1960, it goes through the list of debate dates, the first presidential election debate dates. And then it says here, Biden and Trump's second debate, hosted by ABC News, scheduled for the 10th of September and would be the second earliest debate in history. And there are no other debates scheduled. One of the reasons the debates are earlier this cycle is that Biden and Trump both ran away with their party's nominations, wrapping up the primaries only weeks into 2024. Another reason is that this year's debate will be the first since 1988 not to be sponsored by the Commission on Presidential Debates. What are your thoughts on that?
That is, about the reasons, first of all, is the biggest load of nonsense. All right. The fact of the matter is the conventions haven't happened yet. And they haven't been nominated. Mm. So the term for them is that they are the presumptive nominee.
Mm.
Now, I'm also asking, because Biden hasn't been elected yet by the Democratic National Convention to be the nominee from the Democrat Party. So why would Trump agree to go this early? Because he has the risk now. All of a sudden, everyone's aware that Joe Biden's got dementia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was obvious in the 2020 election campaign. In fact, it was obvious with videos that he'd made in 2019. Mm-hmm. And there were reports that came out from his family that, in 2019, some guys were saying it in the media that at that stage he had early stages of dementia. Well, Joe Biden now, it's advanced dementia. If you look just at the way he walks, and he's been walking the way he walks now for a long time.
Mm.
And if you even look at the G7 summit that South Africa was invited to, that was in Cornwall in England in 2021.
Yeah.
Joe Biden was already a lost cause then. I mean, in his first year of being president, he was, 7-8 months into presidency. He was already a lost cause at that event.
Mm.
If anyone was just opening their eyes and seeing, there was the one comment where Boris Johnson, who was the then Prime Minister, is inviting the different presidents, and he says, and Cyril Ramaphosa, President of South Africa, and then he goes on, and then Biden said, yes, and the President of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, and Boris Johnson famously went, yes, as I said, and President Ramaphosa of South Africa. He even got lost at in the lunch area, and his wife had to come and fetch him. This was in 2021.
Mm.
So if you look at him now, it's going to be a lot worse. And, the thing is, if Trump runs against Biden, and this comes out after the convention, all right, how do you change candidates? So quickly, it's not so easy. He's not voted for yet. So if Trump wants to win the election, he must run against Biden. So why would he agree to have a debate before the convention? Because this is going to almost certainly lead to them changing who gets nominated as the candidate from the Democrat Party for President of the United States.
Yeah.
So, was Trump involved? Why did he agree to this? The whole thing for me is a sham. This, in my view, was always planned. In fact, there are actually many so-called conspiracy theorists that predicted that this was going to happen, that they were going to find a way to change him out, and they're going to choose someone else at the Democratic National Convention. And the nomination for the Democratic Party is going to be a person that hasn't been voted for by the rank and file of a Democrat Party.
Mm.
So this is it's a plan. It's the same as if you look at the so-called Government of National Unity in South Africa. Now, a Government of National Unity means you've got representatives from all the parties, and then you have certain rules that determine which people get, you know, which parties get what positions based on the amount of support that they had. And if you look at it, they're calling it a Government of National Unity. They're not calling it a coalition, but it is a coalition. And why they're calling it a coalition? Because why do they not want to call it a coalition? Because that's not going to go down well with the ANC supporters, is it? Okay, the fact that the ANC is in coalition with the DA, why are all the DA's top positions filled with white people? All right, and there's no whites in the ANC. You know what is going on behind there, and. Also, if you look at Tulsi Gabbard, and I just used her as an example. So she's the one that brought down the campaign of Kamala Harris in the 2020 election cycle during the primaries. Why is her voice out there? Why do so many people interview her?
Mm.
All right. In my view, there's a curtain. The real stuff happens behind the curtain in meetings with three or four people. And they give people this impression, you decide. But at the end of the day, you know, the moment you need a coalition, now it's very easy to be able to maneuver to get the people you want into the positions that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it's fully democratic, you know, the powers that be behind the scenes, the elites as they call them, or the globalists, or whatever name you want to call them. But those people that are there behind the curtain can't control things so easily, because the person is there because of their support from the voters.
Yeah.
So if you look at South Africa now, for example, none of those people have got the support of the voters. If you look at the ANC, Ramaphosa, he doesn't have the support of the voters. They only got 40%. So he can't form a government on his own. The DA doesn't have the support of the voters. So therefore, now you can have his guys from behind the curtain, and now they're able to pull the strings. And that's what's going to happen now with the Democrat National Convention. So I think Donald Trump's in the mix. I think he's in the know. That's just my opinion, because if he wasn't, in my view, there's absolutely nothing, no ways he would have agreed to this debate before the convention.
Yeah, he
would have waited until Biden was a nominee.
Blacknut, okay. What are you?
And sorry, those reasons they gave are wishy-washy. And all of those questions are, well, why is that the case? Because I've seen elections before where the candidates were known early.
Hmm.
So, for example, when Mitt Romney ran against Barack Obama, we knew a long time before Mitt Romney was going to win. The same as with, what's his name? The candidate before him that also ran against Obama, the senator who died. Now I can't remember his name. He also, we knew a long time before he was going to win.
Mm.
So, you know, this is just an excuse.
Black Knight, what are your thoughts?
So my thoughts are, the reasons are correct. I'm just joking. Before I get clustered with all of them. Obviously, just to add on what Pastor Gavin just said, because I don't think my thoughts are far off from his. So with what's happening, it's something that has been planned, and using also, because also look at how they kind of changing their laws with using Trump's case, with what they did with his case and the verdict that came out of there. It's dangerous, well, with with what the immunity that they gave the president. That's very dangerous because
blanket immunity.
he can
do anything.
That thing is very, very. And look at how these things are placed.
Yeah.
The president is given crazy immunity for whatever he can do and kill anyone at any time. As long as he's president, he can do whatever he wants and it won't be held against him as long as he's president.
Well, he won't be criminally liable.
Or criminally reliable. Yeah. So,
just to mention, for those who are not aware of American politics, there was a Supreme Court case in the last week or so that the Supreme Court came out with a decision that the president is immune from prosecution for anything that happens during their time in the White House.
So,
anything.
It's crazy. These things
you
are.
You start a legal war without the permission of the Senate, and it's fun. You can't be prosecuted.
Like, literally, if you look at these things, I know we're busy. Like, the more and more this show lasts, the more and more we're busy sounding like conspiracies. But I'm telling you, look at these things. The plans are just out there. So we have this crazy law that we push, and then we're gonna going along.
And no one voted for it.
Yeah.
No one in America voted for this law.
Yeah.
You call it a law.
Brain, mind.
Surely a law is something that's been passed by the elected representatives of the people.
To get the people to
vote. But the people vote for representatives who then pass laws on behalf of the people. So now judges decide what the law is.
Sure. No. The world.
You are unelected.
The world is going crazy. That's all I can say. So it's just funny because taking everything that we're putting on the table with the presidential elections that's happening right now, taking all of that and just imagine, and then we put someone who's also not elected by the people, just as the law is not elected. So everything that's happening right now, it's being seen as or being said as it's for the people, but the people are not even having a say. But isn't that the same thing that we are going through with our government this side? Because clearly it's not a government of unity, because we have other parties that hold a majority in the parliament, but they're not even part of this government. Then how is it a government? It's not if it was a government, it was supposed to be the whole state, the whole parliament being in one thing, and then they all agree on that. And then we can all call them a government in the parliament. But now it's not, because we have also the other players on the side, and they hold
a big thing. Let's be honest, the guys within the ANC that are against Agenda 2030 are now in the MK party. They've been isolated. And now you've got the factions of the ANC with the DA, which are lock, stock and barrel holy with the Agenda 2030. They're now all involved in the government. And so what sort of opposition do you have now?
I just wanted to ask, right?
So just to mention the big test, right? Remember when the Pala Pala thing came out?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the noise that the DA made?
Mm.
They made just as much noise as the EFF.
Yeah, then the same DA votes.
But now that they're in the government, now all of a sudden now it's not appropriate to have a proper parliamentary hearing into what actually went on there.
And my question is, when we look at the cabinet, guys.
The saving cabinet?
Yes. It's the ANC.
Yeah. Sure.
Because they have... like 20 seats in the cabinet, and then the rest is split between the government. So can we really say that?
No. Look, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just glad I'm glad that PA is not.
Yeah, they hold 60.
Doesn't have.
You know what?
Thingy. They hold 60-something% of the administration.
Yeah, but they have 60-something% of the.
No, but they have
the cabinet should have represented.
Yes.
The
voting.
The
40,
voting.
And then you get what I'm saying. 40, and then we go like that, and then we share.
Because when you look at the pictures, or when you look at the cabinet, you just see ANC. So in your mind, we are still ruled or still governed by the ANC.
Yeah. And what the ANC holds most of the ministerial places and positions. And yeah, that's kind of like being president when you're minister.
So I think that question also then goes to, in terms of this, I think it goes back to the whole thing of you saying, are they really, or the fights that they supposedly having and things like that. So they came up with this thing that was planned well and executed well, but then there's all these talk about fights.
And Johnston hears and didn't get his position that no matter what, this is the position you're going to fight for or want.
Deputy President.
He didn't get that. What did they give him? Agriculture or something?
Agriculture.
Just imagine. And he's fine with that. He's smiling.
Yeah, well,
like there's something, something's not right.
Personally, he's made for life.
Yeah.
Yes. No, the thing is, yeah, the thing is, I mean, maybe there was some fighting behind closed doors, but there couldn't have been that much.
Couldn't, yeah.
So, in terms of the ministerial positions, the ANC obviously has got the majority because they have the majority of seats in the coalition. I think, okay, sorry, the government of Nestor. I think they have probably got 60% of the seats in the so-called government of national unity. But so, you know, from that perspective, you can, you know, you can understand. And the DA's probably got 20%, you know, I think, from the seats in, or maybe they should have at 30, I don't know. Do they have 30?
They have 6 in the ministerial.
Yeah, and
they
I think
6 seats.
They probably got 30% of the seats of those parties that are in the government of national unity. So, but anyway, now, the issue is quite simply, all right? If the DA stands with the ANC, doesn't matter what anyone says, no one can do anything.
True.
All right. So the other parties, they are just there for the pictures.
Yep.
Okay, that's why they're there.
For sure.
Yeah.
So they're there for the pictures.
Am I the only one? And they're fixing roads these days.
No, but not properly.
Not
I mean
properly.
Joburg.
Yeah. I think they also trying to get people to accept
let's
them.
Let's not go there.
They're trying to get people to accept.
Please,
them.
If this is fixing roads, I mean there's some maintenance work happening. Whether they're fixing the roads, it's, you know, whether the maintenance work is successful or not, that's a different kettle of fish. So yeah, that's not. I mean, we still have traffic lights being cut down here, and you know all sorts of stuff that's going on. Yeah, but you know when you look at these things, even the critical voices. You know, why do the critical voices get out there? Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're chosen. They're chosen for a purpose, and a lot of things are done to divide people. You know, on issues that they're not really divided on, and to create a false unity on issues which people are not really united on. So everyone and the people in Saiva, even some of the foreigners, I've spoken to some foreigners this week, foreign Saivians, who are very happy with this new government of national unity, and they love the DA, the Democratic Alliance, and you know, so propaganda's worked. And also now in the United States, I mean, CNN and all of these, they were in full-on denial. They were saying Joe Biden's fine, and it's just people have made videos, and they've cropped videos, and they've done this, and they've done that. And then the guy appears on live TV. Mm. I mean, first of all, when you first see the guy, you know, you can see he's as white as a pillar.
Mm.
He's so pale. His heart's probably hardly even beating.
I wish I had a picture. There's a look he always had, that shocked look. The whole time when Trump was saying, I was feeling.
Yeah, so the thing is, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, some people said it's like it's elder abuse. And I mean, obviously his wife and all the people around him, they know the state he's in. Mm. But he can't find his welfare state.
Mm.
You know, it's obvious. There's a problem there. And you just watch the way he walks.
Mm.
That's how dementia patients walk. He's got that walk. So, but the thing is, then they deny it. And then they put this debate on before the conventions. It's very strategic. And I think if Joe Biden refuses to step down, he's going to pass away peacefully in his sleep or something.
Hmm.
He's either going to step down, or you're going to hear the tragic news that President Joe Biden passed away. What they do is they create a crisis.
Hmm.
And then we need calm heads and we quickly put someone in. Mm. That's sort of what's happened, because the other thing that happened in Xavier, the same thing happened. We've got to get it now. I was listening to people on Friday night on the radio. We've got to get it now. We've got to pass legislation. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. No work's happening in government, you know, all of this sort of stuff. But here's the reality. Who says that the country is going to be better when you've got these guys passing all these laws? They pass rubbish laws. They pass laws that go against what the people want. For me, the less they do, the better. And the more we paralyzed in government, the better, because all they're doing is they're causing problems. And there are many times when doing nothing is better than doing something. And right now with the politicians we've got, I'd prefer if they do nothing. So in South Africa, you don't really have a credible opposition. All right. The voice of opposition now, and I won't even include Julius Malema, is, you know, he's there with him in my view. But he's a bit better than the DA and the ANC, to be honest.
Yeah.
But Jacob Zuma is against Agenda 2030.
Full on.
Why? Why does the media go out to make him look so bad? You're telling me more money was stolen under Jacob Zuma than under Cyril Ramaphosa? I doubt it. I'm looking at what's happened to the country under Cyril Ramaphosa. To me, just when I look at the state of the nation and the state of the infrastructure, far more money is being stolen now than what was stolen in the years of Jacob Zuma. There was money being stolen. I don't dispute that. But, yeah, so if your hope is in the political system, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. In Acts chapter 21, verse 11 to 13, it says, he came over, took Paul's belt, and bound his own feet and hands with it. Then he said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But he said, why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus.
So the Apostle Paul said, I don't trust in this world. And if I go to Jerusalem, I'm probably going to be arrested and bound in chains. And a prophet even comes and confirms it. And so obviously the believers don't want him to go, because we're just thinking about this life. And Paul says, no, I'm not afraid of it. If that is my purpose, I know God's going to use it. And we got many of our best letters of Paul from that, because of the fact that he's sitting in jail and he can't get messages out to the believers except through letters. So we've got a whole big portion of the New Testament because Paul was in jail. And we've got so much rich theology from Paul, which if he was out there planting churches, we probably wouldn't have today. So God has got bigger plans. And what I'm telling you, if you're putting trust in government, and a lot of people in South Africa right now are putting trust in this government, and if you look in the United States, a lot of Republicans are celebrating this is a shoo-in. No, don't think it's a shoo-in. Who are they going to bring in now to replace Joe Biden? Because I'm pretty sure they're going to bring someone. I'll apologize when it comes to the U.S. elections if it's Joe Biden who's the Democrat candidate. I'll be very shocked.
Yeah.
And the whole thing's just a show to make it look like people have a say. Where you really have a say is with God. And I want to finish off with this. You know, Abraham's standing with God. God's telling him, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham actually negotiates with God. He says, if we can find 50, 40, 30, 20, he eventually gets to 10 righteous people in the city. And God says, for your sake, I'll save the city. And so the only time you really have a say is if you engage with God, and if you live for His will. That's the only time you can really change things. And so I'd really encourage you, you know, to do what the Lord wants you to do. Be involved in church and make disciples. That's what Jesus commissioned us to do. If you go to make disciples, real disciples of Jesus, then you can change the world. Amen. One person at a time.
Amen. This has been an amazing show. As always, right here on The Political Show on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio we've had
Gavin Ensign,
Pastor Gavin Ensign, and
The Black Knight.
The Black Knight, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.